I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Red Room. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. So you wanna be a rider? Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed in the rent room. We let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. Welcome to the Rant Room.
Welcome to the Rant Room. That was cool, wasn't it? What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest. And you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, everybody?
2017.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that was like a whole chorus thunder.
We had together, like we practiced.
Syncopation.
So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture. But our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and ranting, and shit like that. Mm-hmm. You hear?
Yes.
Little Miss Interruption.
Yes.
Lisa Bolakaja.
I wasn't the only one. I'm not the only one in here.
But you're usually the only one here.
Anyway, hello.
Lisa Bolakaja, what's up, girl?
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, shout out to the fam over in Italy.
You ain't going this year?
I should be going. I was going to go to Helsinki, but my dad's thinking about moving back down to Italy, which is what I want.
Mm-hmm. Where's he living now?
He's in Germany. Oh. I need to get out of Germany. Germany ain't got no good food, no nothing. So it's in the middle of Helsinki.
Well, we got some German listeners. Like, let's not.
Sockertorter's good.
And those beer gardens are good too, if you're into that.
That's not food.
Oh. Okay.
Well, for Germans, yeah, I guess beer is food.
And pretzels. Man, I went there. Like, I did that whole backpack through Europe thing.
Oh, really?
As a 20-something. Yeah, Germany was a good time.
I had a good time there. Mm-hmm. I lived there for a little bit.
There was some fine men in there. Anyway, so Lisa,
I'm sure they did.
What's up, Chris? Derek?
Hi, people.
Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well.
Writer, director himself.
Trying to write today, later on.
That's good.
Good for you.
You doing rewriting now? You fixing? You cleaning?
Yeah. Projects. I'm really excited about it, though.
Can you tell us about it?
You still doing the Orson Welles one, or are you doing something else?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't tell anybody about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Title, character only. What it is?
I just watched. What's it called? Vice on HBO or Showtime, whatever.
Uh-huh. They do good stuff.
They did an episode on. What do they call the bullfighters?
Matadors.
And over in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they were interviewing one of the guys who was the most famous, and they're trying to figure out, like, why are they still doing this in 2017? Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, this is like horrible to the animals and whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he was showing them around the house, and there was a, and I meant to tell you about this, there was a stone of Orson Welles. He was buried there at his house.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Apparently he used to come there like...
He lived in Spain for a long time.
He lived there. So him and his father were like close friends or whatever. So I was like, oh, you might want... I don't know if you knew that. I guess you
knew he was buried in Spain. Yeah. You know, he was cremated in their fucking backyard. Yeah, but I didn't know where. I mean,
it's a big ass backyard.
It's a kicking backyard. Yeah. All right, we're...
They got three, four acres.
He spent a lot of time there. I mean, you know, he originally went to Europe to make some movies in Italy. And then he came back to the States to make Touch of Evil, and then he went back to Europe, and he spent most of his time in Spain.
Okay.
House there and everything like that. So, Mr. Arcadin was made in Spain, and so was Don Quixote, which was never finished, and other stuff. Oh, and so was Chimes at Midnight, or part of it.
He really knows his shit.
Big Orson Welles fan. What about Transformers the animated movie? where was that made?
Why are they still making
Transformers?
You know he was in the voice. That was the last thing he did.
I mean, people forget about that movie, but
he needed money. It's all about...
I'm not blaming Orson Welles. Leonard Nimoy is in it also. I mean,
money.
Mm-hmm.
What
voice did he do?
The planet. He did the voice of the planet.
Unicron.
That's right.
Unicron. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That's how...
So you guys hear her voice, Lynnell White, writer-director herself.
Hello, everyone. Transformers, the animated movie. Seek it out.
It's worth a watch.
Is it?
I mean, it was shocking to me because, you know, you watched the TV series with Transformers, right. which I loved, right. which I was hooked on.
Right.
Yeah.
And no one ever died mm-hmm. in that show.
True.
And then you watch the movie, and the first 10 minutes, Autobots are getting slaughtered. Spoiler alert. Slaughtered. Oh, Ironhide, Jazz, all of them are biting yes. the bullet, right?
Yes.
And you're like, what is... I was like, it was shocking as a kid. And it was really... Like, Mattel wanted to get rid of a whole line of toys. They were like, we're tired of selling Ironhide. Let's get rid of all these toys, and let's introduce some new ones. So then you got Transformers the movie.
Wow.
And they threw, I mean, the
well,
whole,
now they're doing a Bumblebee.
No, but the latest Transformers, this is, I mean, interesting time for us to discuss. We're not mm-hmm. talking about this today, but not doing so well here in the States. But
he's tired.
Big gross overseas.
Well, of course.
And no along with the Mummy. Mm-hmm. And
that didn't do very well either.
No, here in U.S., but yeah. overseas, they're still
and that
it.
Seems to be a trend that's
exactly.
been happening.
You know what
I expect
saw?
That for Jumanji, too. Hey, I'm just, hey, Dwayne. Dwayne Junebug Johnson,
The Rock. AKA The Rock.
I call him Junebug because with the name Dwayne, I know that his daddy, the black side of family, somebody called him Junebug
well, that's
at one of the family
part
cookouts.
Part of his family is Samoan.
His mom is Samoan, his dad's black. And he proudly claims both. So those of you who've been questioning him being ambiguous, go look at his last tweet that he did and he told y'all what he was. So, Dwayne, Dwayne, I need you in a romantic comedy. I need you in something wrong because you look fine in Ballers with them suits.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to stop doing stuff like Baywatch.
That's another one.
Jumanji, yeah. You know, I looked at the trailer for Jumanji again.
Why are they redoing Jumanji?
Jumanji was
Why
sucked
were they
the
doing
first
the
time
mummy?
They did it. You know what? They think that they got an audience, built an audience, and they don't. So Dwayne, I'm just putting this out there for you, boo. Give me a really fun, sophisticated rom-com. Maybe even a comedy.
With
almost
a non-white female lead. Please.
Well, he's doing Doc Savage, or supposed to be doing
but
that.
But it'd be a white woman, though.
I don't know if there's anyone in white. In
well, they'll put a white woman in there.
Yeah.
they'll put one in there. I just want him to have, like, you know, a Samoan wife or something, or, you know, something.
Something interesting, something
yes.
different.
Well, he gave back to the animated movie a little bit, right?
He gave us a, okay.
From oh, Moana.
Moana.
Yeah. Though, but that was anime. They don't count. we need to see Damn. His body, him, his face, his lips, all of that. So he almost gave a moment in the Tyler Perry thing with Janet Jackson at the very end of whatever it was. And we were all shocked because, oh my God, he's in a movie with black people and he's talking to Janet Jackson. So we had a moment.
What movie was this?
Why Did I Get Married To?
Didn't know he was Ooh. In that.
Didn't know he was in that.
He's at the very end. Spoiler
like
alert.
It's like a cameo.
It's a cameo at the end with Janet Jackson.
Did anybody
and it's
see that?
Somebody saw it. That made some money.
They made money. They made money. You know what?
Those movies always make money.
Hey, they made money.
They know who their audience
they
is.
They know who it is. Mm-hmm. They stay in their lane. They do what they do.
You can't fault that.
But he was there and he was fabulous. And I thought, you know what? And in Ballers, he's awesome. And it's like, we just got to get him in a movie where he's not with the white girl.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, maybe you should write it.
Maybe I will.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make it a sexy, funny James Bond kind of movie with him.
He's actually really funny. I actually want to see him
amazing.
In some more dramatic stuff because
I
think
too.
He's pretty good.
He's good. I think yeah. that now he needs to stop doing those family things now because the last two.
Doing San Andreas part two now.
Uh-huh. And I understand why. As much as they uh-huh. panned that movie, uh-huh. I understand why uh-huh. they're making that.
Uh-huh.
Anywho,
it was a ride.
Yeah,
it was a ride.
It was fun.
I don't know. I think I'm a little bit. I can't really sit here and say I want to see him do drama or see him do comedy. I'd like to see him do less. I'm a bit oversaturated with him.
I agree.
He's in everything. He's in Fast and Furious.
I agree.
He's in Moana. Mm-hmm. He's in Baywatch.
He's in Ballers.
I'm like, he's everywhere. Sanders. Okay, maybe, again, like, be more choosy.
A little bit more selective.
Yeah.
Maybe do some indie. I like to see him do an indie, like
for
a really
sure.
edgy indie
for
piece.
For sure.
You know what's funny? There was an indie film we did like 10 years ago. Maybe not even 10 years ago.
Talking about Walking Tall or something?
No. It's something that he did with...
Was it the Get Shorty jump off film where he played like, at the end he was like dancing, showing his tattoos?
No, it was this crazy movie with the something to do in like L.A. Like
yeah, wasn't Andre 3000 in that? Three Stacks, wasn't it?
Let me see what it's called real quick.
Anyhow.
Yeah, I mean, it's 102.
No, we're talking
Jesus
more
Christ.
Like Toronto Film Festival level.
Yeah.
$2 million movie.
Yes.
And
yeah,
he's
exactly.
just in there really
yeah. For a real acting role.
Part where you have to sort of...
You made your Dobu.
Yeah, you got... Yeah.
I need you to be
Show
a little bit more...
Show us the acting chops.
I don't want you to grow up to be the next... I'm just going to say it. The next Sam Jackson. The next... Morgan Freeman.
I know what I was going to say.
Where you all the time, where you see them in every single thing.
You were talking about The Mummy.
I think I brought it up.
Who has seen the movie and who has seen the trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer either.
I haven't seen it.
I saw the trailer.
I will still go see the movie for Sophia Boutella when it's $2 at my.
Here's the deal though. Why is the trailer for me the exact movie that
Brendan Fraser was in?
Hold on, even worse.
Oh.
I mean the movie was good. Aaliyah's movie when she played the vampire.
Oh, Queen of the Dam.
Look at the story and look at the trailer again. It's like, wait a minute, that's the exact same thing.
Oh, that's not good.
Except she was a vampire and she's a mummy.
Oh, that's not
good.
That's not good at all.
It's the same thing.
Well, isn't the Mummy movie, isn't it in a takeoff from the original, or is this supposed to be a brand new
This Mummy movie is supposed to build this universal monster movie franchise, because ever since the Marvel's doing the Avengers and having all these...
Oh, we can't have no more universal vampire werewolf.
That's what they're trying to do. That's their plan.
Baby, no.
Well, you better call Universal and tell them.
That's
the plan. So this Mummy is, there's going to be a Frankenstein. There's going to be...
Are they going to bind together and have the monster party like an animated cartoon?
And have all fight Scooby-Doo?
That's terrible. We are terrible.
Wow. I remember that. Scooby-Doo meets the whoever.
Yeah.
I remember.
You know what? We don't want that. Well, who's making these decisions? Can I just go to Bullhorn and just go up and down the studio and be like, no, stop.
What do we have?
Yeah.
Who do we own that we don't have to put any money into?
The crazy thing is, go buy something. Yeah. Go buy a property that is, you know, you don't need, if you want to do comic books, you don't need a Marvel book, you don't need
to look what they did with the Hunger Games. Somebody went out and bought that book.
Yes!
And honestly, we had
50 Shades of Grey.
It was an IP though. They were looking for an IP.
You go out and get that and then make it into something.
Well, you have to, look, Disney bought up IP. They spent $4 billion, bought some IP. Mm-hmm. And now they're raking in billions of dollars a year. So Universal, you need to go buy some IP.
Yeah.
And as opposed to trying to resuscitate some IP that doesn't really make
they're not strong enough anymore. Can I have my own strike?
I know in the Writers Guild just averted their strike.
You can join the actors, maybe.
And I just had that sign like you said, buy some new shit and just sit in front of the studio. Like, that's my protest. I was going to drive around, just have my little sun hat, my big glasses, my little sippy cup, and just sit there when the executives come by, that morning rush, buy some new shit, get some cheap t-shirts made, pass it out, buy some new shit. buysomenewshit.com. You know what, I'm gonna make up my new Twitter account called Buy Some New Shit and just have people just, you know, tell what movies they don't want to see no more.
This is side topic, but it's the kind of thing that I felt happened with like Marvel and DC Comics, is that there was a time when they used to create a lot of really cool characters and all this new stuff would come out and be really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And I guess there was, I don't know the details of it, but there was a problem with giving creators rights. And therefore that became, we're just going to cannibalize. And, you know, and the top creators, they took their books, they took their cool creations and their new stuff, they took it elsewhere and created it under whatever, Aftershock, Boom, Image, what have you. And that became, and that was the lifeblood that should have been pumping into like Marvel and DC. But they were, for whatever reason, they just, I guess it was that Jack Kirby thing. They didn't want to break off the rights. I feel that's what's happening with the movie industry, is that it's like we have to get these things that are really, that everyone knows. We won't give people a shot to create something new that could be big and could be exciting, you know, that could change, you know, for what fear, what have you. But I mean, would you rather spend $150 million plus $100 million in P&A on The Mummy, or would you rather spend it on some idea that we hadn't seen before, but was just like, you could buy
three ideas.
Exactly.
That you haven't seen before.
Take the $150 million. I mean, that'll get you, you know, buy some $10 million and under movies. We don't make those anymore.
And that's the whole problem. Like you said, like from the last 20 years, has gone from the little indie, tentpole,
and that's,
those
and
great ones
in between.
We don't have that anymore.
There's only a few companies that do $40, $50, $60 million movies now. Like, I'm like,
and then,
that's low budget.
And that's low budget.
And what happens is you miss out on the movie. Moonlights of the world, okay? Because mm-hmm. that movie, was it $2
million?
$4
million?
Million.
Okay. And yeah. then it's actually making more money now.
Right.
Because it's gone overseas. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today, girl?
So I have our list of topics to keep, because you know how we get. And thank God there's no liquor in here today, because... So first thing I want to talk about, very quickly, is Okja.
Who?
Okja.
Is that she related to Oprah?
Who Netflix.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Jun Ho Bang, those of you who aren't familiar with his work, he's an auteur who I love. He did The Host. Mm-hmm. If y'all remember what The Host is, amazing. Go see it. He also did Snowpiercer. And now he has this new piece that's out right now that you can actually watch on Netflix. So, by the time this episode airs, if you was really going to go see it, you would have seen it. I think it's playing in theaters, too.
It is.
You can see it in the theater, or you can walk, which is fucking smart. Because
if you're in LA, well, I don't know when this is going to air, but New Beverly is doing in 35 millimeter this week.
Wow.
And then they're doing a Snowpiercer right after or something like that, like a double
what?
Feature. Check this. Yeah, check this.
Okay, check that out. So just letting you guys know, spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about something. We mentioned it briefly in one of our last episodes when we talked about tonal shift. So let me set the scene for you. Picture it.
Sicily.
Saturday.
Is it raining or is it
sunny? What was the date on Saturday? What was the date?
Yes, it's July 1st.
July 1st.
Yesterday.
Yeah,
so
July 1st.
Picture it. July 1st, 2017, West Coast time, Pacific Coast time, 7 p.m. Shout out to Geek Soul Brother, who does the Saturday Night Sci-Fi tag every week, every Saturday. So I mentioned to him, hey, I know we were talking about doing Spawn and get some other stuff too, but Okja's out. It just dropped. Let's do Okja. He's like, cool, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell everybody to go see this movie, because I'm excited. Like I said, I love this filmmaker. I'm going to see whatever he puts out, I'm going to go see it. That's sure. That's the kind of filmmaker he is. So, this is the one, the rare occasion where Linnell hits me up and says, I'm watching it, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because usually you're busy, and then, like, you come back
I've been too busy
later,
at grad right? school to do Saturday Night Sci-Fi.
Right.
But last night, I was like, okay, I can at least, like, at 7 o'clock, hit play on my Netflix. And now, mind you, yesterday in the Linnell household was a little bit busy because
yes.
it was my cat's birthday, and so I had to put the Netflix. I hit the Netflix, but then I'm like, okay, now I got to go bake this cake.
And what are you laughing at?
I got to go in there.
This is we talking about. This is love. What
yeah,
are you talking
I got,
about?
I was like, I'm baking the cake, and so I've got the 2 8-inch pans. I got the, okay batter. Now it's in the oven. Now let me come back to the movie. Check in on Twitter. Da, da, da. Okay, they're expositing in the scene. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Now let me check on the cake. Put the frosting on. Candle. Like I was, it was,
you're so loving because I get my cat.
She was 13. She's 13.
Oh my God, my dogs would be 14
but she
this year.
She doesn't look a day over three. I mean, she's a good looking cat.
She holding it down.
She is a good looking cat.
That bitch get exercise. Right? She
you're
takes
good.
Her running around the lake.
I get the doggy.
Beauty
I get the doggy right? sprinkles cupcakes, and then I make my dog a steak. Like I make her a little steak,
really?
And I chop it up in pieces. Because now you know she's getting old and her teeth and all that, and I get a cut. And her birthday September 3rd.
And that's a good day. That's a good day.
Hey,
yeah. Mine is a fib. Like
so anyway,
that.
I was excited. I'm like, oh, wow. Because then I realized, mm-hmm. oh, shit, Linnell's graduated. I know she got family. Things are hectic. But at least I got the tweet that just said, hey, she's in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, so, and you know I like Snowpiercer.
Yes.
So I was like, I want to see his director's follow-up project.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because Chris Evans is in Snowpiercer, and he's amazing in that, mm-hmm. I have to give it
yeah.
to him.
And I was kind of surprised that he wasn't in Okja. But now,
I was shocked
after
too.
Seeing it, I'm like, oh.
No,
well,
I
here's
think
nothing
he's busy.
With Chris.
He's
no,
busy.
No, no, here's nothing with Chris. Chris is down with the Weinsteins. Okay.
True.
His directorial debut was on their distribution, one of the distribution
oh, he's
channels.
Busy.
So no, but he's down with them.
Okay.
The Weinsteins had a big fight with John Hoon
about
cutting the movie. So him like I don't think that would have worked.
Okay.
Schedule wise or not, I don't think he's down with the Weinsteins, so he's
okay.
not gonna like turn his back on that camp and be in
okay,
that movie.
Okay, gotcha.
That's my speculation.
So halfway through, so we're tweeting and I'm gonna tell you, okay? Because if you know anything about Jun Ho, he is famous for like even in The Host. There are certain tonal shifts. Like, mm-hmm. it's a monster movie, mm-hmm. but it's got family drama, it's got angst, it's got slap, it's got a lot of stuff going on. So you have to, you know, if you appreciate that kind of horror movie, that kind of thing, that's what it is. Halfway through.
So is what tone is Okja supposed to be?
Okja, okay, the way
that's
it's marketed.
A damn good
look,
question.
Look, the way they marketed it.
Damn.
Which is, no, this is important. Because what's the rating in the movie theater?
I don't know.
R, probably.
Is it R?
I don't know.
I would assume R.
It needs to
it
be R.
It needs to be an R.
It
really
needs to be a hard
NC-17. Well, there's
something. A lot of F-bombs in it, too.
There's cursing and there's, yeah. So.
It's more than five.
Halfway through, I see this tweet because, no, you know, the beginning of it's like, oh, and I'm already boohooing and tearing, getting misty eyed anyway. Because
the beginning of it tonally is, I mean, a girl like in it's love like, with in love with this pig, right. And she and it's beautiful. They're in Korea, it's lush green, yes, in the hills, and she lives in her
they're
environment with the pig.
They're saying,
and
you
I'm
to
like,
cry.
I'm like, okay, this is cool.
Okay. And mind you, it's the typical, we know what's going to happen.
Almost fairy tale esque yes. level.
You already know what's going to happen.
Does it look like a regular pig or is it a different?
No, it's a genetically CGI. Modified.
It's a huge
pig.
It's
a pig.
It really? Looks like a combination of a hippo, yeah, a dog, right. and a pig.
Yeah, because yeah. I almost it's pushed big, play on
but
the
it's
last
cute.
Night.
The it's eyes cute. Are cute, but yeah. it's all CGI, no puppetry.
No, yeah. it's ribbit. So you go that, and then halfway through, it starts going through like kind of comedic and a little bit slapstick, and then we get to the middle part. Mm-hmm. And of course, because, you know, a lot of times I'm on Tonight Sci-Fi and if Geek Soul Brothers like doing some stuff and it's busy, a lot of times I try to keep the thing. I'm on it anyway, mm-hmm. but, you know, keep it going. And then I'm always checking the tags. So I'm watching, I'm looking at the response. Because the fun part about live tweeting is you're watching it together. And I really needed to watch it together with other people because I'm a big crybaby with these type of movies. So I figure I wouldn't just totally just be a big blubberfoot. Mm-hmm. I would have some funny things and some fun stuff with people. Halfway through, I see this tweet from the now going, pig rape, I'm out.
I'm out.
Peace, y'all.
Deuces on the
and I cut it the fuck off.
And
I went and I put the candles on a cake and to pose for pictures with the cat.
And don't laugh. I got pictures with my mom.
And I the cake is for me. Like I ate it. It's a gluten-free cake, right. mind you. Okay. Right. So I ate the cake and then I flipped it over to like something else on Netflix because I had to get that out of my head.
What was interesting though, because I'm watching, like I said, I'm watching the tag and I'm reading other people's comments, and you know that's the fun part of the live tweet is funny comments, especially if you've seen the movie before. But since none of us had seen it before, mm-hmm. the stream of comments, we had a lot
fresh and raw.
Like, it was like raw, mm-hmm. and literally, I would say like 80% of the people who were watching, some of the people who joined us had already seen it, so they already knew. I would say 80% everybody was like, "Holy shit, this went left real quick.
Real yeah. quick.
Like,
massive.
Like, we was going
shift.
And partying and slapstick. And I was like, oh, yay. Oh, cute. I'm like, all right. I know they're setting me up for the end. It's going to be my lasty moment. And then it happens. And when this happens, there's a... Well, we could talk about it because spoiler alert.
Well, okay. Let me talk. Let me just... And you don't actually see the pig rape. What they do is they cut to some people who are watching the pig rape on a monitor.
Oh, you see it on top of her for like 3 seconds.
Okay, I missed that because I must have been looking away or whatever. Or maybe I was...
Because like, you see it coming out, mm-hmm. and you see her, and then they're like, this isn't... And literally, I had a Black Mirror moment, like, oh shit, yeah. are they really going to do this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, brace yourself, Lisa. Tree yeah. warning, here it comes.
I just heard
president.
Her screaming, and I saw
and
them
cuts,
watching.
And it's like a
but then,
monitor.
Okay, so there's a couple of things after the pig rape, I let it play for a little bit, and I was like, okay, let me just see how they're going to resolve this scene. And so, first of all, they show the post-rape scene with her laying there, all, you know, miserable, and then Jake Gyllenhaal leaning against her, like, cracking wise. I'm like, all right, fuck y'all. And then we go back to the crew that was watching them, the animal liberation people that were watching them, and Paul Dano does his normal Paul Dano thing and snap and then commit like some real serious violence on one of the guys in there because he lied.
Basically,
about
Steve Yeun got his ass beat again.
Oh, no.
And if you don't know who Steve Yeun is, Glenn from The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. So basically, we're excited because one, like, isn't this like one of the first few projects that he's done post The Walking Dead?
Yeah, because he's been having problems getting
yes.
cast.
So number one, he's what? Having he's, yeah. yes, he's why? Been having problems getting work because he's an Asian guy,
an Asian dude.
And they don't know what to do with Asian actors.
He's been
oh, clearly the Hawaii Five-0 of it all.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Got
yes.
it.
He's
got
been, Chris, he's been going up for like one or two lines.
Every, just stuff.
Just
so
just
mind you,
wow.
this is the first time we've seen Steve Yeun in anything. Post The Walking
and he
Dead.
Gets a beat down from Paul Dano,
and I had one of
who's
my
132 pounds.
Look, and one of my Twitter Come friends, on. She said, I am so upset. And she writes for Black Girl Nerds. Hey, mm-hmm. Carolyn, how's it going, girl? Because we were like, bitch, what is going on? And I was like,
so on top of it, on top of the rape scene, then we get, you know, an Asian actor just sort
person
of being
of
thrown, just rolled under
right.
by Paul Dano, who is 120 pounds soaking wet, maybe. I could fight Paul Dano right
even
now.
Even a buck 50. Is
so, wow. Yeah. So that goes down. And so, of course, everybody who's in the, you know, Saturday Night Sci-Fi, they're walking.
Now,
and they know that.
And
they're
by now, I'm having my cake. And the shit's off.
So you made it to page 62.
She made it to page 62. Me, I kept going like, because my first thought was, okay, this happened in The Host. How are they going to flip this around? Are they going to be able to turn this arc back to get us back to that warm, fuzzy feeling? Mm-hmm. How are they going to resolve this? And I will have to say, they don't.
Yeah.
And he leaves it at the end. Because at the end, spoiler alert, the girl does save Okja, but not the rest of the creatures. And a part of it, I think, story-wise, is basically, hey, that's life. That's shit how it is. Like, if you're going to eat meat and you're going to do all this stuff, this is how your food production is going to be. I get that. But that sequence with the whole pig thing and Steve Yeun, I was pissed off more with Steve Yeun.
He than, needed a job.
Than, like, said, the program was already done.
I was, wait a minute. So he can't work on, what's the show? Isn't there an Asian show with isn't there an Asian show on
yeah.
Fresh Off the Boat? He can't.
He's not a comedy dude. Well, he might be.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
he might have to do some comedy.
He can work on Into the Badlands or some shit, or, you know.
Or Iron Fist, if they do that. You know, or actually, let's not care. Wait, an Asian person can work on any show.
I'm just saying what's out there that we know.
Well, I'm saying the easy cast, where you're not going to be like, what do you put in? I don't really know.
He could be on Empire. Right. He can be on Queen Sugar.
Why isn't he on fucking...
If I was a black creator, I'd be
power.
Like,
why isn't he on Power and shit?
He could what be on fuck? Power.
Right.
So, okay, this is interesting about tonal shifts. Like, that's something that I think filmmakers have a hard time dealing with. I think just it anybody could be doing well. This, you know, I mean, to me, the first movie I saw, and it's still one of my favorite movies, that did that really, really well was The Apartment, Billy Wilder's Apartment. Mm-hmm. Because this is a movie that comes off as kind of like sex comedy until she tries to kill herself.
Right.
And it's like, what the fuck?
Right.
You know? And you know, and it's not handled with any kind of humor, her trying to kill herself, you know? And then like the whole kind of like the revelation of how she's being abused and the sexism that goes on in the office is all being kind of like explored in that second half of the movie. But then, you know, he does a classic thing where he ends the movie with the great, you know, like the closing line of that. Like, it brings it back to that little comedy that starts to, that the movie starts with. I mean, it's, you know, it's tough to do. I mean, The Apartment, I think, is one of the only examples I know that did it well. You know, I mean, it's, in terms of like that, the audiences were able to then, it wasn't so polarizing because I think it won like 4 Academy Awards, you know, some shit like that. But I obviously you do it now. Like people are so entrenched in genre, and it's this, and it can't be this, and it can't jump around, and you know, I mean, look, I haven't seen it. It's Okja. I don't know. I saw the little trailer on Netflix. I saw the pig.
What did you think when you saw the trailer?
The impression that you got.
The animation.
Did you think this was going to be a family friendly movie?
I said, this is not for me. I just look at the pig and saw the way the pig was animated and like flopping around like it's, you know, like
it's part dog, yeah, kind
of
cute.
It has some kind of like,
oh, but I see it was a CGI pig.
It was something about the way it was animated, like it felt like it was a Pixar movie,
right? For sure,
thrown
for
into something
but
else.
Not in terms of what you want to see. In terms of if you were saying, who would the intended audience be?
I have no idea because
I don't know who the audience is for this movie.
Here's the thing, because when I was playing at Con and what's her name, Phil Collins' daughter was talking about shit like that, I saw a trailer and I'm like, oh, this movie looks like there's some weird kind of like terrorism going on and people trying to killing. Right. And so I don't know what movie that is. So I'm going to watch Glow instead, which is really good.
Oh, I don't like Glow, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
But let me just say something about tone thing.
Okay.
I talked about this before. One of the movies that I noticed the biggest tone shift, and this is from a couple years ago, is Zombieland. Act one, if you read the script, act one is a really good script. Act one is flawless to me. Just the way he sets everything up and the rules of the world. As soon as Woody Harrelson comes in, it turns into, because even through the comedy, it still was, be careful when you go outside. Mm-hmm. You can be killed.
Mm-hmm.
It still had that theme, right? You have to run in a circle to survive. You have to do this. You have to do this. Don't walk in there without checking. And all these different rules you have to do. As soon as Woody came in, it was like the superhero comes in now, you know, and he can't be killed. And all of a sudden, right. the tone yeah. changed right. because whoever's with him right. didn't have fear anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it just became too, like, everybody could mm-hmm. be killed. Bang, bang, mm-hmm. bang, bang. Instead of bang, oh, shit. Right. There was none of that right. anymore.
The threat was
you
gone.
You can have the tonal shift, but you have to be able to bring it back around.
Correct.
A movie that was really successful in doing that, Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. But perfect. Okay, this thing had like 8 tonal shifts, though. Okay,
it did.
We're in Korea, the lush green mountain, and getting another pig. Fine. Then the pig is taken away from her. Like she's kind of duped, and the pig's taken away. Then she's on the chase, and I was so invested in this girl. What is her name? Misha. Mm-hmm. I was so invested in her because I'm seeing a young person of color, female, right. who's like, I want my pig.
Yes.
And she's running, and she's jumping on trucks, and she's trying to get in to get yes. this pig. I was like, you go, you get your pig, right, girl. Because right. anyone, especially on my cat's birthday, I'm kind of like, I know that connection with your yes. furry companion. I yes. get it. So she's running, she's getting it. And then it shifts into this, like, trying to be a satire with Tilda Swinton yeah. with the braces and
right.
and Jake Gyllenhaal, like, being a goofball. And that it doesn't quite work. The jokes don't land. But for me, what bothers me the most about the pig rape of it all is, once again, because that pig is a female protagonist in my eyes.
Yes, it is.
Once again, we have chosen, in order to make something, make it difficult for our female protagonist, we're going to go, we're going to pull the rape card. Yeah. And I was like,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Right.
You had a lot. And there was also a lot of exposé scenes in the movie. I was hearing it while I was stirring the cake right, from right. the kitchen. I was hearing it. Right. I was like, how long is this scene? They keep going on explaining right. the world until the Swinton's like, we need to do this and this and this for the, I was like, show me, don't tell me.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, you know, it's, I mean, the thing about the Snowpiercer that got me is that, you know, okay, so the movie's, this whole thing is violence. I was gonna, that crazy ass fight in the middle where they're like,
I love that
in
scene.
The dark and stuff, oh, like that, great. You know, it's crazy shit. But the next scene, they break through and it's like they're in that classroom.
Yes.
But that's that weird, yes. surreal.
But then at the end of the classroom, old girl from newsroom pulls out of semi-automatic yes. and starts shooting at her. And yes. I was like, so it kept going back and forth. Yes.
So,
as we moved to the cars, I was like, that's I'm kind cool. of his
thing. But that moment you're talking about was, we had a big moment, we need to slow it down.
Yes.
To me, that was a, let's chill it, and then yes. we rev it up.
The tone of the movie is still post-apocalyptic, right. stuck on this train.
But to me, the only thing is, that scene in Snowpiercer, that actually saved the movie for me. Even the first time I watched it, I was like, okay, this is not what I thought. This is a little more interesting than what I thought it was. Because understanding the back of the car, I mean, the back of the trains, whatever, it felt confined, even just like, it felt confined, intellectually. I was like, what the fuck is this? You know? And then all of a sudden it broke out and I was like, okay, so this is actually, it's something else. You know, that whole scene where he's fighting the guy, you know, I love that scene. Who haven't seen Snowpiercer, fuck you.
Wow. It was a couple years ago.
If you haven't seen it, you should.
There's that scene where he like shoots the bullet through and because the train's on the
cars around.
I mean, I was like, okay, this guy is just smart shit in this, you know, just cool ass stuff. But I mean, and then the ending with what's his name, and he confronts
Jackson Pollock. Truman right. Show for me.
Right.
Who's Jackson Pollock? Who you know who I'm talking about? Ed Harris.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this too? You know. And then there was some. I don't. There seems unanswered in that movie too. Like the thing with the movement and everything with the arm. And I was like, okay, it felt like this was a movie was cut down. And I don't know.
It was cut down. It was cut down. For sure. That was the fight with the Weinstein Company.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It, well, see, I hate when I can tell a movie's been cut down. Mm. It's just like, well, you need to cut it down more then, or you need to not release it like that. You need to put stuff back in. Mm. I mean, yeah, the Weinstein.
So, but when you say that, are you saying you feel like something got rushed?
Yeah. Well, no. It's not. That, no. It's that. There's a disconnect. Okay. At least to me, like something in the visual narrative, not necessarily in the actual story narrative, but the visual narrative has broken, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, okay, you know what? You cut something out of here. And you know, I mean, to me, I can usually tell, and then mm-hmm. you hear about these movies, and it's like, you know, it's something the Weinsteins did in this fantastic movie called The Grand Master. I don't know if anybody's seen it or not. It's directed by Wong Kar-wai, who did In the Mood for Love.
Yeah.
And it's this cool shit kung fu movie about the guy who...
Ip Man.
Yeah, yeah, It Man, yeah. And it's just like there's this love story
and
between
it's got Tony Lang.
Yeah, the yeah, goat. Yeah. He's amazing.
Everybody, a goat to you.
He's oh my god!
Amazing.
No, I got taste.
She back,
I got nah, I got taste.
It's,
okay, I'll watch it.
It's got one of the, there's a fight scene in there. It's like him and the girl from Crouching Tiger.
Yes,
and it's like
I'll forget it. Yeah,
and so Tony comes to her. And so Tony's challenging her, and he says, "We're gonna fight here." But they're fighting in like a banquet hall,
right?
And he says to her,
"You can't.
If there's any food on the floor at the end of this, I lost the fight." So let's start.
Right.
You're like, "Oh shit, this is gonna be some cool ass shit," because you don't even think that you're gonna get hit to bump into a table. Yeah,
right.
You
right.
Know,
right.
So he's gotta control that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's why you're like, dude, he's like, what's gonna happen to this?
And
it's really dope.
I need to
it's
watch
really
that.
Dope.
I need to watch
but you realize that's also this sort of ballet where they begin to fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half of the movie, it's like their love story. It works, but you know there's like scenes missing. Like, because we've seen enough of this stuff to know where it's like, where's this scene? And when they're not there, when that's like what's driving him, then it's like, okay, I'm missing something.
Right.
I know why you cut it out, but it doesn't make any sense. And that was in Weinstein's Battle, too, where they put that out.
I'm really curious because one of the things that struck me, and I've been thinking about it because I have to write a piece about it for Bitch Flicks with Okja, was you're actually correct that Okja is a female protagonist, and it's always fallen back on the old, well, you know, the whole rape scene, that kind of thing, so the men can come rescue, and they lost track of Mija, who was the hero.
Yes,
like there's one point I was live tweeting going, I need Mija to come
back
through right now.
Yes.
Because it's gotten away from her.
The way she ran down those hills was steep in Korea. And she was running down them like a beast. I was like, I love this
when
girl.
She jumped up, she did some part. She jumped, they had the little glass thing in the office, and they were like, you can't come up. That girl jumped
through her body into a glass.
And 2 seconds, and the glass shattered.
Yeah. No, I love this girl.
And was like, I'm coming to get my
I love this girl.
I'm getting my homie.
What I didn't love was then also, are you satirizing the animal rights people that were trying to get
I think they were trolling, because one of the tweets I said was, wow, they got these animal rights activists. I said, wow, I wish it wasn't just all white folks. There's people of color who do that too. Mm-hmm. But then later on.
Then they beat down the one.
They did the dialogue, and I realized they're trolling white activists who get really caught up in animal stuff and lose track of people, you know, because it was like,
wasn't Paul Dano one of them, and he does the beat down on,
and he does the whole PowerPoint, like we were all sitting there tweeting like, bitch, look, are you gonna pick up my pig? We don't need this. So who said it? I think it was Carolyn, was it you who said we don't need this PowerPoint presentation on PETA and animal rights? This girl just wants you to come help her pig. We ain't got to do all this shit. She already on the same team. Let's go do it.
There's an entitlement that people have when they have that. Like, they say a lot of people who are vegans are...
They're very condescending.
Yeah, so it's the same.
They're very condescending.
Yeah. But did you need...
Tree huggers and
it just seemed like,
that, you know?
Pick your battles in the movie. I just felt like it was kind of all over the place. Because I had this... It was a whole action sequence where she's... I mean, there's like trying to get the pig out of the truck.
It
was a whole... It reminded me of Civil War. The whole action sequence in the tunnel.
Yes.
And then the activists are trying to get onto the truck and get the pig. Who's going to get the pig? And I'm like, okay, cool. But then it goes back into this comedic goofball satire. And then next thing I know, a pig's being raped. And I'm like, well, that's dark. And I don't know what the fuck this is.
And it never comes back.
I'm shutting
so
it
So this
off.
Is where I'm curious. Because I think this might be the first film that... Junho has co-written with someone. I'm really curious to know if John Ronson was the one who put, because I know that when they, because I was just listening to him this morning on National Public Radio talking about writing the film and of course his books.
Was it the which show was it? Because I think I heard a snippet of it, and then I was like, I'm going to cut this off.
Yeah, yeah. Same that show.
Damn, I didn't even hear the interview about the show.
Yeah, he was talking about his book too. So You've Been Publicly Shamed, and he had some. Things.
That's who it was.
Yeah,
that's
he had said some things that I disagreed with because I was like, you got it wrong, sir. Because shit be funny.
He's got
on
a
the
British
net.
Accent. Blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah. Okay. We were listening.
Yeah.
To something.
And so he was talking about, yeah, I came in and wrote this, and so I'm really curious to know if he wrote. I want to know exactly. I got to get that script to see what my boy wrote and what happened when
I don't care it, the director is ultimately still responsible for
that's
everything
true.
That goes on
that's
that screen
true. That's true
it's his,
so
it's his vision
that's true. His vision and
he could
again,
have cut scenes off like you know we didn't even need to film this but
again, yeah the tone
it's
was
one of,
the
it's
place.
One of those things where literally at the end of the movie I sat there and I felt like not bad because I felt like who, my first thought was, who is this movie for? Like, for me, exactly. The adult Lisa,
that's important.
I can totally get
a
that.
A kid can't watch
but
it.
But when you see the posters, what you're seeing is Babe Extra. Like, yeah. It's a big pig.
Right.
And you're like, oh, this is right. Kitty Dumbo. This is like the new
cute
2017 Dumbo. Cute little girl. It's going to be, they're going to sell some action figures. It's going to be stuffed. Oh, no, bitch.
And then she gets pushed aside.
Yes.
In the movie. For I was Paul like, no, Nano the crew. Story's about, yes. Or, you know, we started with girl wants pig.
Right.
Girl gets pig right. back. Now, right. She can have people that, like, other characters to come along, help her get the pig. And that's not right. what the activists were going to do. But then she just disappears after the activists come on the scene.
That's interesting. You know,
I don't get it.
To me, the poster, it reminded me of this movie called Delicatessen.
Yeah.
And just the way the art worked. And I just was like, which I love that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then.
If you haven't seen it,
I was kind of like, And then I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, they're doing something that's just so it's a perfect question. What is this movie about? Who is this for?
Who's your audience?
Like who's gonna come watch this?
What I would say to this, like,
is it the Shaun of the Dead audience? I mean,
the
satire,
the
satire,
or the Big Short is a satire right. movie.
It's a huge pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did mention in the back, she does got cake though. She thick. I was like, ooh, this pig got a lot of meat on her.
And there was a lot of, like, she had a big boob and people were squeezing it and
right,
stuff. And
right.
I'm just like, really?
Yeah.
Why? I don't, you know, I didn't get it. It goes back to your comment. It was like, you looked at the trailer, you're like, it's not for me. I decided to jump into Saturday Night Sci-Fi on Twitter. I was like, yeah, I got a Saturday Night Sci-Fi.
It'll get better.
And I was like,
come back.
Don't be scared. Come back.
No, I know. I've been with you guys before. Yeah.
No, but it's like, it's one of those things where as an artist and as a writer.
Polarizing movie.
Yeah, it's one of those. And I'm really curious because I try not to see anything about it. I want to go in fresh. And not know anything. I'm going to be really curious to see what other people, because it got a lot of like positive, like, you know,
it's five stars on Netflix, and I immediately gave it a one. I was like,
but the five stars on Netflix. See the Netflix rating system, because for a minute they just had the thumbs down earlier this year, and then they got a lot of flack from that. Mm. But the 5-star rating system is not necessarily an aggregate of other viewers. It's kind of like they're predicting
what I might like.
Yeah, what you might like.
Oh, well, they were dead wrong for me.
Is there in house to give it the 5-star?
Yeah,
wouldn't it?
No, it's really the viewers. It's based upon.
It's not like IMDb where something gets a 7 out of 10. Right. That's all the reviewers on IMDb.
I'm not even sure how it all works, but it's some algorithm where they look at a lot of stuff that you watch and what you rate it, and then they kind of like say.
So I watch a lot of sci-fi and things and foreign stuff, and so they're thinking, oh, you're really gonna like this. It was like a 4.5 already when I saw it. I was like, no, one.
Yeah,
big rape.
I'm just saying. I'm telling people, if you like, I am a child from the 70s and 80s where. My mom and my stepdad didn't give a fuck. We gonna see whatever movie we gonna see. And if y'all don't go to sleep in the back of that car, you gonna see this shit too. So I've seen a lot of shit where if I were a parent, I'd probably still let my kids see it, because that's just me.
Yeah, I would too.
But in terms of people who are really sensitive or who are going in to see this movie, like, it's gonna be, bitch, no. Don't unless
Do you not go, bring your kids.
Don't
for
bring
sure.
your kids unless you're ready to have that conversation. And you're gonna have a serious conversation about probably what they're eating, rape. If you're a person of color, especially if you're an Asian person and you're the only like Asian American character and you're getting your ass beat by white folk.
There was also the gentleman driving the truck, who was like, I just, company, I don't care.
He was hilarious.
Did the movie have like a trigger warning in like the beginning of it?
No.
See,
it's your ratings, whatever the rating is.
Well, no, this is okay. I say this because I was watching 13 Reasons Why, right? Mm-hmm. And I think episode 10 or episode 9, it kicks up and it says, this episode has got some graphic subject matter, you know. And I was like,
no, this did not have that. You press play, and I was curious what this show was
going to be in this episode, because I know the show's about teen suicide, mm-hmm. and it's about all this kind of like semi-bullying in high school. And I'm like, this is going to another level mm-hmm. of what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then ultimately, it was necessary for what it had to happen, but it wasn't gratuitously executed. So I was kind of like, so now I don't understand. Like, when do these kind of warnings get displayed, you know, and when do people need, because to me it's like, if I'm gonna slap an R rating on a movie, I'm gonna tell you, they have to tell you, because it's for sexual violence or words or blah,
can you look
blah,
up real quick, Okja, to see what it says for this rating? Because you know, I'd be real, like, if it's PG-13, I'd be like,
oh, no, it can't be. It can't be. Too many F-bombs. Tilda Swinton drops like 10 F-bombs.
Now, moving on to...
It says TVMA.
Yeah, mature audience.
Mature audience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For Netflix, though. I'm talking about IMDb for the movie.
This is like what it says. This is what it says on IMDb. It says TVMA. Because
I mean, it is technically it's a television movie. Yeah, and they're releasing it in theaters.
Well, if anybody knows, we'll look and see. I'm going to have to go buy a theater and go look at it and like see what they give it.
Yeah, see New Beverly, what they're...
So, Hawaii 5-0.
Mm-hmm. What happened there?
What happened was...
Yeah.
We broke up. Because... The man who in the summer, you know where I live in the summer? Mm-hmm. Daniel Day Kim's cheekbones. That's my summer home. Yeah. Mads Mikkelsen is my fall. When you, a man with great cheekbones, I love. Mm-hmm. And if they're a great actor too, awesome. So anyway, Daniel Day Kim and Grace Park, mm-hmm. who've been on the series since Jump.
Mm-hmm. 7 years.
This is 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They going that's through contract negotiations. Mm-hmm. Mind you, for those of you who don't know, they're the only reasons why I was watching Hawaii 5-0 in the first place. I mean, like, there's no reason really to watch Hawaii 5-0.
Is he Japanese or what is he?
He's Korean.
Korean.
Okay. All right.
You're fine.
Mm-hmm. Just looking at the bone stretch, he looks a little more Japanese to me, but that's fine.
So is, and so is Grace Park. She's Korean too, right?
I believe she is, but I think she's playing a Hawaiian character.
And I guess the only reason I was thinking it was she has a lot of Japanese.
Right. Yeah, I think they're both playing Hawaiian characters.
Right. Well, they're Hawaiian. Yeah. But yeah. So anyway, so... They have these contract negotiations, because as actors normally do, because their 8th season's coming up.
Yep, it's time to review.
And they decided to go ahead and leave the show because they wanted to have pay equity.
Mm-hmm. With Scott Conn.
Those guys. Mm-hmm. Alex O'Loughlin.
So they probably weren't.
And.
So Scott and them were probably getting $1 million a week, for instance.
And they were getting back
$100,000 a week.
Getting back in stuff.
Yeah. And they weren't getting any of that.
And I didn't see anything where those two actors, because sometimes if you really tight like that with your people, sometimes you can go in as a block and like, well, these are my people.
Which is what they did in Friends.
They all came together. Right. So apparently we are friends.
That's even different, because Friends, they all said we all want the same money. There wasn't a pay disparity.
True.
See, there's a pay disparity on...
But it started from the get-go.
Yeah, but there's the show... What's his name? It's such a mensch on this. What's the show... Modern Family. Mm-hmm. Modern Family, Ed O'Neill had a massive discrepancy from everyone else on the cast.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, he was a big guy, and they were like nobodies. Mm-hmm. And apparently, third season in, he was like, I'm a walk unless you get them, like, all up to, like, the same level.
Someone needs to advocate.
I mean, it's different when, your friends, they all came in together.
But David Schwimmer started it, though.
Yeah. But for someone who's making the bank to come in and say
I'm going to leave unless,
you've been on the show 7 years.
Yeah, it's on it.
You're an integral part of the show. Mm-hmm. If these your people, you gonna let them walk?
Yeah. So Scott and them.
You already getting exactly. You already fucking getting back in anyway. So you already getting extra
that they aren't getting.
That they are not getting. So you don't come in and say, hey, you know what? These are look. What can we do?
I could take less. Could I take less so they can get
Thank
more?
You. No. So and here's the thing: these two dudes and Alex Laughlin, Scott Conn, y'all ain't that cute.
No.
Y'all like the most basic looking.
Basic.
He used to go to my gym.
Listen, and I'm sure you're fantastic actor, you're wonderful people, and you got nice family. But I'm just saying, in terms of if we go and watch, look, it ain't like the old 70s Hawaii 5-0. Dano back in the day, bitch, please.
Yes.
What's it? Please.
Yes.
Like the quality has gone down. I'm just talking about white folks right now. Yeah. Like, you know what? There's a few of us, but y'all used to be like banging. I don't know what's going on. The British got y'all beat. Like, y'all need to start drinking that British water because the rest of them coming over here. They aren't. Look.
Damn.
Am I lying? Am I lying?
I'm not. I'm just.
Look at those gorgeous British men that are coming over here, taking all the roles.
All the roles.
Well, the other reason is they're classically trained.
Black,
too.
And white.
But they good looking.
Yeah.
They fine. Fine and talented is something you can't. You gotta take it.
Okay.
You can't just be mediocre and.
Because actors over here be taking cold reading classes thinking they can act.
Listen. So what I'm saying is this.
Motherfucker studied Shakespeare. Okay.
We already know that Asian actors are getting overlooked for everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really looking forward to Crazy Rich Asians. Like, yes. I'm looking for hair, makeup, clothes. I want fabulousness. I'm there for, I already got the book. Bitch, I'm going to be dressed.
Now, is that a movie or a show?
It's a movie. Okay. They just wrapped. Mm. So, how do you, I'm trying to wrap my head around, how would you not pay them? Mm-hmm. Especially when we already know that Steven Yeun's going through some shit right now, trying to get roles, and he was on the most popular TV show, the most popular character outside of Michonne.
Because they go by who is at the top of the call sheet.
Yeah.
The call sheet. This is the same
thing. And those Hawaii 50, you know, executive producers aren't thinking about your Steven friend at all in their correct. Decisions.
This
at
is,
all.
This is the same thing that happened on Sons. See, Ron Perlman was number 3 on the call list. And when they killed his character, he was all upset about it.
Well...
And he thought, I'm the star of the show. He's like, no, bitch, you're third on the call list. You're not the star. Mm-hmm. Jake, then...
Your mom.
The mom, and then you. We don't need you on the show. Mm-hmm. And he's number 3.
Because mm-hmm. this is Hamlet right? on... Yeah.
Correct.
And this is Hamlet in the, you know,
right.
in the biker game. Not right. This mm-hmm. is not Claudius in the biker game.
Wait. And if I was executive, Ryan, you my boy.
Or is it Polonius? I forget.
I might have to do that conversation too. This ain't Hamlet. This is Hamlet. It ain't this. Yeah. We love you.
Yeah.
We appreciate your work.
Mm-hmm.
I like Ron on that show.
I mean,
to me, I thought the show really lost a lot of edge when he died.
I agree.
I agree.
Such a, I stopped watching
you
too.
Know, he was such and, a.
Be
such
honest, a, sometimes you got to stop. When yeah. shit ain't going your way, you got to stop.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
So
it didn't really hurt him. He's fine.
Oh, well,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I just talked to him yesterday.
He's
on an Amazon show.
I just talked to him yesterday.
He's in hand of God.
Ron, we still waiting for you to come on through here.
I know. I talked to him about that yesterday. Oh, come on. Like, whatever, dude. When you come. No, I'm coming. Like, whatever, dude.
But anyway, Hawaii 50, you're canceled. I ain't watching it no more. Which brings me to...
Well, also, I mean, you have to mention that movie that Cameron Crowe made, and he said Emma Stone was an Asian in Hawaii. Like, I remember, I don't know Hawaiian, the title of the movie, but
I don't know.
With George Clooney playing yes. Hawaiian. No, that was The Descendants.
That was different.
Was that different? That
Emma Stone was in a Cameron Crowe movie.
Well, it was kind of similar.
More recently, where she was supposed to be half
right.
or part
yes.
Asian.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you talked about that on the
show. Yeah, and then she came back and apologized and said, "We fucked up." And it's like, it's too late now, bitch.
I just hope, you know, Grace Park, and what's the gentleman's name?
Well, we decided, the Black Twitter Collective, have decided that they should do a remake. If we're going to do remakes, do a remake of Heart to Heart and have those two play.
Oh, great. Or Remington Steel.
Or Remington Steel. Or something cool like that.
That's you know. David. Well, see, and the thing about Danny Day Kim,
since y'all stuck on not making nothing new.
I mean, the thing, you know, I mean, like, he is his own production company. I mean, a friend of mine who was a co-EP on NCIS LA, he had a show that he brought through Danny Day Kim. And I mean, and they picked it up. I mean, they picked it up, but they, you know, like, it was gone far enough to go to pilot the script. I mean, he went to the showrunner training program, mm-hmm. based upon getting backed by Danny Day Kim. So he's an actor who is deeper into the game mm-hmm. the way that a lot of actors are, and for him to get played like that, mm-hmm. it's probably like
that's problematic.
Daniel Day Kim. This is what I need you to do. I need you to call Steven. And I need you to get a Grace. Y'all need to sit down. I need y'all to do a version of Dallas, the TV show, but a Korean American version with some kind of like Korean conglomerate American company here. And Steven's the younger brother that's coming in. And we're going to have clothes. We're going to have hair. We're going to have sexy men, sexy women's
fights.
We get to see all of it, but it's set in a Korean American, set in California, so I can be a backup actor.
It's Dallas meets Into the Badlands, bitch.
Okay, it could be Silicon Valley, something crazy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of where the largest Korean population in the United States is. I want to say here on the West Coast.
I think it is here.
So we could have beach scenes. We can still have.
Why wouldn't it be here?
Why? Yeah. So we all need to come up with something because I apologize on behalf of the fuckery in Hollywood because that should not happen to y'all. So you know what?
And Grace Park is no slouch either. I mean, she was on Battlestar Galactica for how many years?
Yes.
She's a great actress.
She's a great actor. You know what? There's talent that's just being purposely wasted.
I just
wasted.
Feel like I think there's material out there for them, but the problem is. Seeing them in those roles.
Well, this was interesting. You know, we were talking earlier.
The execs don't see them.
They
in
don't
those
see
roles.
Them.
We're talking in the show. We're talking offline about the success of like Transformers and stuff overseas.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that.
Okay, so I'm curious because, you know, Harold Rodman, you know, he's the outgoing president of WJ. He was telling me one time that, you know, they sell these shows because they're able to sell them internationally up front, you know, but they're not waiting for syndication now. They just, boom, they're hitting profitability before the shit even airs. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like...
It's like distribution automatically.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like... Well, then you know, and if these movies are playing so well internationally, they're, I mean, China, Japan, Korea, Southeast Asia is probably a big market for you guys.
But so, they're not making as much profit. They're making their money. If they're making up any money, it's overseas, but it's not as big as it used to be in terms of the kind of stuff that they're putting out now. Because you can't – Tom Cruise is not a guarantee. They're talking about doing Top Gun again.
They are going to do it.
Yeah,
that's not going to do well.
And how old is he? He's too. Let me tell
unless you have. Old. I've already gave you the plot. Y'all need to pay me. I already wrote the script for y'all. Where I just said basically you got to have like a female pilot and it's his daughter or something.
Yeah, he's too old to be still
where
in a,
his shenanigans
F-14.
That he was doing in the first movie is not going to play with his daughter in this new movie, and she's going to be as bad as he was from the first movie. So unless you're going to do that and bring in more people of color, more women of color who are doing that type of military stuff, it's not going to fly.
I got to be honest with you. I mean, in the fighter pilot world, it's all white dudes. Like you,
but
we can
pretend.
But see, I don't want to pretend. Like I that's my thing. Like, let's not make it what it isn't. You know, maybe you might have one. You might have one. Like, I was the only female in my squadron for a couple, 2 years.
Okay,
wow. Out of 100-something people,
that can be part of the plot point in the thing. Right. A black guy is trying to be a fighter pilot.
Because what bothers me is like I've seen these period pieces, and they're just like, we need diversity, and they start throwing black people in. And I'm like, well, if we weren't there, don't put us there. I'm kind of with Jeff.
I agree with you 100%.
You know, if that's not, I mean, the percentage of the Navy is about 14% female.
Right.
What you put on screen should reflect that.
Right.
But it's also very diverse in terms of the males.
Right.
You know, black dudes, Hispanic dudes, whatever kind of dudes are in the Navy. But just make sure that it reflects what our
it feels like what it doesn't feel like
so it's alien.
Tacked on or you're right. I mean sometimes when you see black the worst thing is seeing black people in these period films where they don't have any kind of
like Belle context. Worked because we had you know there was actual painting that she based the movie
and
on
and black people existed
and everyone around her
Belle
Amana Asante's and Belle was like the only and the other black people in the movie were slaves and
but that's a movie about her.
Yeah,
what I'm talking about is like someone black is like second or third lead thrown in because they want to have diversity. That to me I'm kind of like
I'm over that.
What?
I mean, no one's tuning in for the Shondaland show, the remake of Romeo and Juliet, Starcross, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like being moved different nights and just they're burning the show, basically. I'm just like, yeah, I mean, diversity, we're all for diversity, but it has don't just throw it in just to throw it in.
And I think audiences are getting tired of it.
Wait, what's this show, Starcross? Like it's
it was a remake of Romeo and Juliet with like...
A lot of black people.
Yeah.
Is it set...
Set in that time period.
Yes. And the clothes, the hair, all of that. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes.
See.
And no one tuned in.
See, because
that's trying too hard.
Yeah, see, okay, so you sit in Verona. This is around the time of Othello the Moor, right?
Yes.
So there are actually Moors. There are North Africans. I don't think, you know what I'm saying? See, that's the thing too. It's like if you want to do a show about black people in the Middle Ages, the black people who are showing up are probably North African, which means they look like, you know, they look kind of like Arabs. They don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to look
some.
Like, they're not going to, there's that, you have to decide that choice, and you should try to be closer to that than what you would think, you know? Like, I don't know if you, I mean, unless you figure out, like, oh, he's some Nubia, like you have to make those exact kind of, like, claimants.
Let's be specific.
Yeah, but you can't say. But but if you're doing Romeo and Juliet and it's like House Capulet in Verona, and it's some black house that has lands and shit, that didn't happen. So then you can be like,
it's a made up story. It ain't.
Well, that's why people. That's why people aren't. That's why people.
And you can make it up
for my reasons, because I get turned off by that. Because now you're insulting me. Like, there's so much stuff that we could go to Africa and mine for story, like stuff where we actually were.
Correct.
You know, like this thing I'm going to work on this summer. There was actually a black composer in the 18th century that no one knows about, and his music got burned up in the French Revolution.
No, I'm writing about this. I didn't tell you I was writing this.
He loves getting under your skin.
I know, he's a loser. Like I said in the freaking parking lot.
Now, jumping from that. Gillian Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this crap.
So, shout out to all the X-Files fans out there. We all have to agree that last year when they brought back those, was it six episodes?
Six,
which one?
X-Files. They sucked. There's only one that was actually pretty decent. The rest of them, it was still that Chris Carter stay stuck on that alien conspiracy, mm-hmm. gray. The shit that was boring on X-Files for me was all of that that alien, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, when I bought the entire season and I sat down that one summer and I watched every single episode, and I realized that 40% is decent. The rest of it, you could have just jettisoned. Mm-hmm. And if they would have did X-Files now, they would probably have half the number of episodes. They'd just been in, like, a season would be, like, 10 episodes. It's going to be your best. Yeah, no, I mean, this is when you talk about when you revisit films and TV shows
with a little bit more perspective and knowledge of the business too.
And you're not young and kid, like, just excited to see some cool genre stuff. Now you're like, some of this shit was shit, and we just gonna have to say it.
And also it's different too. I mean, back then they were doing 23 episodes a year.
Yes,
that's a different animal. I mean, you're just trying to stay ahead of
They would have had some better story ideas, because this is what Gillian Anderson was saying. It's like, she, for one thing, if you know the history of it, it took them 3 years for her to get like decent pay that was comparable to David Duchovny. Couple years trying to set him.
She's second on the call.
Yes, and they tried to set him up as like the main guy, mm-hmm. but the chemistry was so good, and it was very clear that she was not. She's a co-lead. She's not his backhand. Yeah. So they fought with that, but because she's such a strong actress, that shit. She became that bitch. Mm-hmm. Okay,
we need to write more. All right,
Scully is that bitch. Exactly. All right, but here's the problem: they're bringing back some more episodes, and one of the things that Gillian Anderson commented on, and she made a tweet on social media, basically saying there needs to be some women in the writers' room, because the only writers he's bringing back for this time around are the one, like, I think it's James Wong. Who's the other dude that's a regular on there? One of my favorite writers, Morgan. That's his first name.
I knew you were talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, his crew, his boys.
Yes.
And I understand
the original guy.
The original crew that, like, some of the best episodes that were written was written by these dudes. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily saying Chris Carter. I'm just saying.
Wasn't Vince Gilligan also?
Yeah, Vince Gilligan. Yeah. James Wong and the other dude.
A lot of people on this show is crazy.
Morgan. And so, like, if you go back and see some of my best, the favorite episodes, I guarantee you one of those dudes did it. There have been some women writers that have been. There was a woman, I apologize for not remembering your name, but she recently posted something up, might have been on BuzzFeed, where she talked about where she was on for about a year, but most women only last about a year. Either the contract didn't get picked up, or they left.
Interesting.
But his style is different. Like, Chris Carter's like the head. Mm-hmm. And basically, it wasn't like a group thing. Basically, this is your story, you're going to write this, you come, that kind of thing. So Gillian
didn't have like a room where they're all collaborating.
I don't think it was that. I don't believe it was that way.
Interesting.
And anyway, and it's fairly difficult for women to get into that kind of boys club anyway. I mean, you got to play that game, and most boys don't know how to play nice anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, men are trash. So, yeah, I said it.
And so it tells me if you're not doing the room, then you're not really serializing. Like, every episode is like a one-off.
Right.
So how do you tie them all together?
Right, the standalone. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an old model now. Everything.
Now that they're doing the new ones, Gillian Anderson basically said, you know, it'd be nice to have some more women in the room, that kind of thing. And so it kind of had this conversation, like, how are you going to make this show that was such a pioneer, iconic show, make it now and not have women in the room? Because I'm going to be honest with you, if they probably had some more women in that room and probably had some more people of color besides the one guy they had, James Wong. He's Asian. Asian American. Some of those stories might have been better. Possibly. There might have been somebody who could have been, there could have been a woman in there, preferably a black woman, who could have said, no. That's not gonna work. Mm-hmm. No, Chris, we're not gonna do the whole gray alien thing one more again. I know it's your show, but we can't keep doing this mythology. It's boring. But
see, that's the problem though. They're gonna bring in a low level writer who has no voice.
Right.
That's what they always do.
Right. Yeah.
And one and done.
You can't. Mm-hmm. What are you gonna? They need somebody who is a co-EP, like a LaToya Morgan. You know, somebody who understands that world.
Right.
You know, to be able to come in and just
be like, guys.
First of all, no, bitch.
First of all, the 90s are over.
Yeah. Right. Move on. And then actually have a room, because, I mean, if you have the room, you can still, like, everyone, like, have the procedural aspect of the show, but then you can serialize those 10 episodes, whatever you're doing. Like, this is going to happen episode one, which builds into two. When you have everyone together,
here's
of, like,
the, here's the problem.
In, what's my writing assignment?
This is my prediction. My prediction is it's not going to be good.
I believe they have a room. I'm almost sure they have a room.
They have a room.
I just heard a podcast with one of the
guys. They have a room. You're talking about in the 1990s, they didn't really have a room.
Well, they had a room,
but they're in terms of, it wasn't like, the impression I get, it wasn't a big collaborative, let's work, basically, Chris Carter.
It was competitive.
Very competitive. So,
well, every room is, yeah, but certain, more so.
There's certain rooms, you know, like, I mean, like, you know, like, I've heard that the guy who did True Detective, you mm-hmm. know, like he, you know, you like, you bring people on to help you pitch story, and then you write every episode, and then you have control. I mean, I guess what the guy did in Fargo too. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think even with Fargo guy Noah Hawley, like I remember he was saying that he, you know, they had pitched out the season and stuff like
Aaron
that.
Sorkin does,
and then he, yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. people do it. So mm-hmm. I guess there's different ways.
The Crown was all written by one gentleman, Peter Morgan. Right.
Yeah, I just feel like the X-Files, like. I watched some of the early episodes of that show when it originally aired, and I thought it was interesting. But there's nothing like it on TV right at that time. And I even feel like now, yeah, you said this show would have trouble now because, you know, it was too influential. There's too much stuff that's been spawned off of that. But I feel like, but I tried to watch the updated episodes last season. And I just was kind of like, it felt like it was tonally. And like pacing of it was still like the 90s show. And mm-hmm. I get and maybe I haven't watched, I think, any
all those
show
writers are over 50 now.
That's come back. You know, like the shows that come back after mm-hmm. Netflix picks up and does them again. I haven't seen any of those shows to know if they're like
Fuller House
if they're too trying to stay
in that same model from 20 years ago.
Follow so it feels within, like, here's my box set of all this, you know, it doesn't feel like there's been a gap. That I don't know. But I do realize, here's the thing, like, I didn't watch enough of the X-Files to get why everyone was in love with Joni Anderson when it was on, you know?
It's the progression of her character.
And, you know, I mean, I get that, but I watched her in the fall, and I was like, damn, she's fucking good. Like, so now I know what the whole thing is about her, and it's like... It's,
perfect British,
you know,
accent.
And, yeah, and she's able to control, I mean, that show. You know, she controls that show in a way that I feel like... When I was watching part of this X-Files thing to come on again, it felt like, oh, like... It's second fiddling you now after I'd seen you been the lead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, she's still, I mean, and
you're right. Really blatant. You can catch it.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean, yes. And it's like in the fall, I mean, it's her show. She's mm-hmm. in charge of the investigation. But they still try to, like, it's interesting because they try to, like, downpeg her, the other people, like her ex-boss. I mean, mm-hmm. it's interesting the sexual politics in that. But I just felt like that's maybe not what I mean.
I feel like I Chris Carter.
That should be in the X-Files.
Chris, this is what I need you to do.
I don't know.
Because I love Chris Carter's work. Like, I love what he's done. But I feel like now, when they do the new ones, number one, they have to be made almost like movies. Each episode is its own little movie.
Hmm.
Get rid of that fucking space alien shit. We don't want to see that. Don't nobody care. They need to get some more writers in there, more people. They need to have some really smart people who really know
upper
really
level. Good.
And diversify in terms of age a little bit. Maybe
age,
too.
Yeah. Because all of it.
What you're saying is true. I think a lot of them
I'm
are.
I'm just saying,
gonna,
a staff writer is going to do them any good.
They're going to be stuck.
They're not going to listen to them.
Yeah. They're going to be stuck on that 90s thing.
They need producer and up level.
They're going to be in awe of being in a room with Chris Carter mm-hmm. as opposed mm-hmm. to.
And you got to have some heads in there that's like, hey,
the emperor has no clothes on.
Yes. Appreciate your work, but boo-boo, this is what we need to do to keep it pushing. Because it's not like, it's not going
to
happen.
That's why y'all need Star Trek consults.
Look, y'all, I mean, you got to get them in there, and they got to be
was
like...
I was teasing Lisa and, what's her name from Black Girl Nerds?
Joelle?
No, the other one.
Oh, Lauren.
Lauren Warren, about they need to start a little agency or a little consultancy.
We just come and tell you no. We just go to and read your script and we just sit there and tell
just
you.
Consult
with,
like,
you.
On different shows.
That
or
would
movies.
Actually, if they don't want to do the diversity hire thing, at least hire a consultant to come in
so
and
we
say,
can
look
warn
at the
you.
First six episodes.
Because I'm telling you, Black women, we will predict, like, before you, we're just going to do our show. We go predict the clapback that's going to happen
to you.
Oh,
look what happened to Gorilla.
Listen.
Yes. The thing just sort of aired in the vacuum. Who even watched it?
All it took was one sister from London in the room to tweet the bat signal for black women. Black woman picked it up, watched the video. And we was on that bitch like in a minute. Mm-hmm. And when them numbers came out from HBO, mm-hmm. and it was like, well, we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. No, bitch, I'm telling you what happened.
With the audience.
No, you messed up.
But here's what I'm saying. Every show that's in a certain genre, like NCIS has a specialist from the Navy. Mm-hmm. You know, the law show has a lawyer in the room.
Before you
damn
do,
it, yeah.
Before
you have a show. That's
I would literally,
if
I was going to reboot, like say they call me up and say, "Hey, we want to reboot Star Trek: Next Generation," right? And I know enough, I know enough writers of color, mm-hmm. whatever that could do the job, whatever. But I would also like be at the cons, walking the streets, and being like, what are you into? What do you want to see? What are people buying? Like, get down the trenches.
Yes.
What is it you miss? What is it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's difficult because you can see it happening, and we joke about this a lot on social media, but then it goes down and then they're like, we don't know what happened. And I'm like,
we told you
what was told you.
See, this is why this is super important. This is why I keep saying it needs to be a mid-level person because you're going to bring in, they think they're helping us by going, well, we have a black female who plays.
But she's not empowered.
Whatever.
She's not empowered.
Let's bring in a little, you know, let's bring in somebody straight out of ABC Fellowship.
Right. She doesn't
have shit to say. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It doesn't.
And there's no basis irrelevant. For comparison yet. No. You have to work on maybe a handful of shows. Then you're like, yeah, I've seen this before. I've seen that before. And I know when to say something. I know when to pick my battles.
Correct.
Yeah, it comes with just seasoning and
you
experience.
Can't just be like, you can't do that because black people don't whatever. You have to be like, look, let's look at it from this point of view.
Right.
You have to learn. It's a code.
You got to speak in the code.
Yeah, there's the politics of how to behave in the room with the upper level people. I mean, you know, there's that really great book, Difficult Men.
I've read that.
It gives you a great understanding of like, you know, most people who become showrunners, they're really great writers. And really great writers, 90%
they're not
of the time,
good managers.
They're not good managers.
Yeah.
You know, and people, I mean, you know, and even shows that are great shows and everything like that, I mean, they're not, you know, people still, complain about, like, there's writers who will bitch about how difficult the show was. And, I mean, like, what's his name was a manager for a long time. That's why I'd be interested in working on his shows.
Who's that?
Glenn Mazzara.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Glenn.
Mm-hmm. He's at the hospitals and all kinds of,
he was a hospital manager for a while. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's your path into work, and it's because you're dealing with a lot of high stress,
mm-hmm.
and
different personalities.
The stakes are like
hundreds of people,
shit, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of shit going on. So, I mean, but so somebody else who comes in from just writing all the time and kicking it with their boys, you know, and then there's a high degree of deference. It's earned, no doubt, because you got a show in the air, but. You know, the way it is as a writer, you're obviously, that's going to your head in a way, in a different way than everything else. And I feel then that also the other writers, even though you're with like writers and you're like-minded, there's another sense of like, I can't speak up because I don't, I haven't earned that yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For wherever you are.
Right.
And
that's what he's talking about with diversity hires.
It's interesting. Right. It's, you know what? That's the thing you're talking about GLOW. We're talking about it earlier. It's like, like the woman who,
I am not liking GLOW.
What's the woman's name? The
girl who stars in it? Which one?
Not her. That's Alison Brie. The other girl.
The blonde.
Yeah, the blonde.
With that they keep talking about her boobs every episode.
Well, okay, I've only seen two episodes, but this is the thing. She wrote an interesting essay in Allure. I was out on Friday.
About her confidence?
Yeah, about her confidence. It's interesting because she was saying, you know, Alison Brie was like, no, you have to get up and say shit. If you don't like a line or don't understand a line, like you got to like make, you got to get up and do... you got to empower yourself to a certain extent. And I feel like, again, like you said, you go in a room and it's Chris Carter. What the fuck? I mean, like how are you going to behave?
First of all, anybody who gets in the room on a staff level is going to be a total, they're going
to
bring
happy
some
to have
geek.
The job. Yeah.
They're going to be somebody who's a total X-File geek, a Star Trek geek, a Star Wars geek. It's going to be some nerd, even if it's a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a young Brandon Easton. It's going to be, you know what I mean? It's going to be somebody who understands that world, who's going to be sitting there going, oh my God, I'm here with all the original dudes from the X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying shit. I'm going to learn. That's exactly what they're going to do.
And I'm just going to do what they need. I'm going to be the best staff writer I could possibly be, which is to support them, throw out story ideas, get my scripts on time. They're focused on like just...
And there you go.
Not getting fired.
And you know that room has a pecking order. It's like, no, he speaks, and he speaks, and he speaks, and now you can speak.
You know what I mean? Oh, you know, it's lunch. No time for you to speak. So let's go back. Oh, that's you again.
Or you're lucky if you're not getting the lunch.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Can we just talk about Glow?
Yes, because
then we'll wrap it up.
Yes, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. So... what's the premise of the show? Because I saw when it came down to my my queue, and I'm like, I'm not even interested.
Well, I mean, it was a real thing. I remember, I want to say around 86. I remember watching it every Saturday.
It was earlier than that. No, really?
Maybe. I don't know.
You're right. I just thought it could have.
Maybe if it was 84, maybe. But I remember Saturdays. I had a date after Spider-Man went off. I had a date with Glow. I flip over to Channel 11, WPIX, my friends in New York, and Glow would come on, and it was now. They shot the show originally in Vegas.
Oh, really?
So it had a little bit of that vibe where you felt like it was in a casino. I feel like it was like in a ballroom in a casino. And I feel like some of the patrons that went in there had a few. You know what I mean? And so you got these women and they all had these really stereotypical, I look back on it now, stereotypical characters. But you had, you know, the farmer's daughter. She was blonde hair, blue eyed, the little Daisy Dukes.
The details and stuff like that.
The big black girl. Americana, who was like a U.S. flag, patriotic. Then you had Justice, who was a black girl, and she was like in this cop gear, and she never won any matches. I don't think she won a single match.
Oh, you're talking about the real people.
I'm talking about the real show. I'm talking about the show that aired in the 80s, who the characters were. Okay.
Got it.
Because Justice never wins.
Then I get this Netflix iteration, which I get why they're doing it, but I felt like some people found a piece of property. Like, and I've read up on it a little bit. The people who created it never saw the original show when it aired. Like, they're not. Like, they weren't familiar with it. They didn't know about it until they saw a documentary about that show.
Okay.
So then they see the documentary, like, oh, this is interesting, women wrestlers, da 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 da. So this show on Netflix, Glow, is like set in LA, and it's like, again, they're doing the freaking Orange is the New Black vehicle where white girls bringing you into this world.
Correct.
And she's just so quirky and weird, and oh my goodness, and you know, and then I'm just like, really? Yeah. That wasn't the show.
Right.
I'm just, and then the fact that last night I got up to episode 3 and some of the writing, they had the black girl say, she's doing her little like promo bit, like, I'm, you know, the junkyard chains and I'm a wreck your body, whatever, peace. I was like, nobody was saying peace until the late 80s, early 90s. So basically, you got some writers on your staff that are either too young to know, or you guys overall don't know. You weren't living through the 80s, and you don't know.
Yeah, because I think Peace came out after that song Self-Destruction.
So maybe that was 88, 89?
Yeah.
But when were people like really saying in vernacular, I mean,
it's not quite right.
Mm-hmm. Not quite right.
That always bothers me. And so, I think there's something that bothered me about the Get Down, too. It was like the language.
Yeah, there was a couple.
Because you didn't hire the right people, and then it could tell you.
You know?
I mean, and also, it doesn't work for me as a comedy or a drama. It's like this dramedy thing. I get it, but it's not funny enough, really, on the comedy side, and the drama is really slow. There's like minimal story development.
Right.
I mean, we keep going back to, old girl slept with the other one's husband or whatever. And I'm just like, okay, why are we still talking about this 3 episodes later? Like, I get that there's still heat between them for it, but they fought. Now, can we move on? Or,
well, I mean,
I don't know. It's just kind of dragging.
Look, I've watched 2 episodes, and my favorite character is Mark Maron.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
He's pretty he's good in it.
But I'm kind of like, why is this show about women, and my favorite character is the dude?
You know? Right, because
I mean,
that tells you something.
It's just weird. You
there
know?
It is.
I
mean,
he's like, stealing the show.
Yeah, it is.
That's why. It's not like I can't identify with the women. It's like he's stealing the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's given everything cool to say.
Right,
the behavior. All he's like stealing.
And then the
Alison
Brie character, I was kind of done with her because you want to show she's flawed and she has weaknesses, whatever. But you literally have her get robbed in the parking lot by some teenage kids on bikes. They just sort of grab her purse and she's like, hey. That's mine. I'm like,
she can't run after them fast.
She doesn't do anything. She's just soft. I'm like, I don't get this. I don't get what this is trying to be. But again, I was really irked by the vehicle into the world was like, you couldn't have taken one of the black characters and come into the world that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or one of the Asian characters or one of the I don't know. I don't get it.
They cannot.
That's exactly the
problem. I don't get it. You know? And the fact that it's still in LA, I'm kind of like, that doesn't register with me, because that show wasn't, the show aired from Vegas.
The only people who can go into a new world and to guide the rest of us and new understanding.
Who can blend right in. Who can
blend is white people.
Yes. They can go into the hood.
They can go in the hood.
They can go into.
Or
go
you anywhere. Have this other character, the larger girl who has a wrestling in her family.
It should be her opening.
She gets so little to do. I mean, because the real glow was based around this woman called Mountain Fiji, right? The real glow. And she was like, larger lady, but I don't know her back. I think she might have been Samoan.
Was she? Oh my god!
But she was huge, and she would just toss these girls like a rag doll. I tune in every week to just see some blonde girl just get tossed out the ring like a piece, like a piece of garbage.
There are some Samoan actors out there.
And she was the face. Like you guys get in wrestling, there's faces and there's heels. Okay. Right. Mountain Fiji was the face. Okay. So that I thought that character on the show, I don't know her name, but you know, like she's kind of quiet. Yeah. You don't give her anything to do except follow Alison Brie's character around. I'm just like, really? The show should have been her vehicle, because in terms of like, how am I going to actually get spotlight? Because I don't look like these girls. My body's not like these girls. Yeah. I'm a different ethnicity, you know, but she knows a little bit about wrestling.
Right.
She comes from that family that knows, hey, I know what a damn body slam is supposed to look like. But again, they give her nothing to do.
Give her nothing.
At least I'm three episodes in, but I'm hate watching it. I'll get through it. Just because, I mean, that was a big part, because I was a big WWF fan from the day I saw that thing.
Yeah.
But honestly, when I saw Glow, I was like, oh my God. And the wrestling was bad. It was bad. It wasn't good. But they did have some storytelling involved where they would do vignettes with the girls outside the ring. And it was like, they had weird characters. I remember they had Hollywood and Vine, and these chicks were all like metal and crazy hair and punk rock. And then they had one girl that was just in a straight jacket. She was just crazy, like in a straight jacket.
But I'm wrestling.
Yeah,
I'm wrestling.
I mean, it was just fascinating. It was a fascinating time. And the documentary is kind of good and bad, because it gave them exposure, but it also it also showed how little they got paid, how there was drama behind the scenes, and the show was on for 2 years or 3 years or whatever, and then it was just gone. You know, gone for,
well, it seems,
for random reasons.
Just in terms of like, talked about like being on Netflix and stuff, it seems like Netflix seems to be hit or miss. Like the TV shows, most of the TV shows are doing pretty good. Like when they went through a
stretch recently.
They
because
did.
They cut Sense8 and
The Get Down, all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're trying to trim some fat.
But I heard that Sense8 is getting like a 2 hour.
It's doing a 2 hour movie. Right. Yeah, to finish it off.
Hopefully to wrap it up.
Because I think there was backlash. Like, really? No answer on Iron Fist yet. Really? I don't know if that's coming back.
Do we care?
No.
Do we care?
Oh, no.
And my other beef with Netflix is I didn't watch War Machine or refuse to watch War Machine, because I'm driving down Sunset and I see the poster for War Machine, and it's 8 white guys in army uniforms on the poster, one brother, and then one, it looks like, Afghani gentleman in the background. Tilda Swinton's in the movie. She's not on the poster.
Mm.
Okay. And also, this is what you think your army looks like? I got news for you.
Yeah.
What year is War Machine supposed to be in?
It's supposed to be when McChrystal was saying the stuff about Obama and got fired.
Oh, okay. So 2000.
Yeah. I'm talking Afghanistan. I'm talking 2007. I'm not talking World War One.
Latinos.
I'm talking present.
Right now.
I'm basically present day version of the army. I'm looking at this billboard and I'm like, whoa, what army are you looking at? Yeah.
And that's the impression they give you with the military all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you see the movie posters or TV things, you're like, but we're there too. Where are we?
I think there's more people of color in the military in general, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Because the recruiters prey on but they are in low income areas.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is a viable option
for a lot of them.
I mean, because I've talked to several enlisted members who they're like, look, it was the gang or it was the army. And I just said, all right, I'm gonna do the army. At least I'll learn something and I'll be able to pay for college afterwards. I just watched
a documentary on gangs in the military, and it's like thousands of them, Crips, Bloods, 18th Street, like all kind of shit. I'm like, yeah, damn.
Mm-hmm.
And they still banging in there.
The gender is still way imbalanced, but I'll say in terms of like the colors of people, that gets spot on reflecting America.
Right.
or tries, or we right. try to be. But
right.
Yeah. No, Netflix, I don't know, this Okja thing and the War Machine billboard, I don't know. They're on, I'm on Hulu right now. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been watching stuff on Hulu.
Mm-hmm. I'm on Amazon more than anything, yeah. but that's just me. There's great shows on Amazon. Yeah. I think people are people don't talk about it enough in an interesting. I don't get it.
Like what? What are you watching on Amazon?
I like Goliath a lot.
Mm.
But do you see ads on like regular TV?
Did you know that, Chris? They shot that here
for Amazon.
Yeah. Goliath. Yeah, it was great.
I see Billy Bob sitting outside all the time. He would say hey all the time.
Yeah. Oh, you mean here?
This like on his lot.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, okay. I mean
Ed Harris.
Yeah, I mean that looks cool. I mean, I like that a lot. I love the show The Collection, which no one has seen, but I think it was fucking fascinating. Mm. I'm trying to think what else is on Netflix.
Amazon.
Yeah.
By the way, your boy Chuck Rose got a new deal. Did you hear about that?
Oh, for
like a first look
for Master.
No, for a whole new.
I didn't know that. Is it with Crackle?
No, I think it's ABC or one of somebody
probably,
like that.
Yeah, well, Sony probably. They're through Sony, so.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I don't know. That's great. That's great for him. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think that what's happened is that there's, I don't know. The stuff I see on Amazon to me seems a less. Like they're not pushing.
It seems more curated. Like let's take our time. Let's develop something. Yeah. Let's get the concept right.
They're not
right.
pushing stuff.
Where I feel like Netflix is like throw it out there.
I'm constantly getting stuff in my thing, like the little message thing they send mm-hmm. you, and the ads all the time. Like I'm trying to just watch my show. I'm watching my list. All of a sudden, it's like you got to watch it. Like I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
How did the algorithm?
I already got 600.
Netflix the algorithm
just have to borrow a bunch of money. Yep. Recently,
really?
Netflix? Yeah, they really? Had to borrow. I saw it on Deadline.
Well,
they were borrowing
you spending $120 million on a get
there. They're hemorrhaging money with these shows, and it's like, all right, are you maxed out on subscribers? Because everybody is basically paying you $8.99, $10.99 a month. Or
they're
whatever
probably maxed out on subscribers. They have to raise the money. Or they to borrow money, or they got to raise the subscriber mm-hmm. fee. And I think if they kick their fee to $12.99 a month, mm-hmm. they probably lose 10. No, they probably won't lose any subscribers. You know why?
Right.
Because no one wants to go back to Time Warner. No one wants to go back to
that. I had to cut
that.
It off. I caught off Spectrum. Time Warner was out here in L.A. I was fine with Time Warner, and then Spectrum bought them. Spectrum is shit.
You had, right? Well, whatever. People don't want to do that. But, I mean, to me... I mean, shit. What's coming up soon? Game of Thrones. So, I mean, it's like now it's back to HBO. Because it's like, that's what I wanted. Something else on HBO that is coming out I wanted to see.
They're doing like four spinoffs of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, not only that, but Mahershala Ali, he's going to be doing...
What's he doing?
He's doing the new... what's the show? The detective one. True Detective.
Oh, he's doing
the new three? He's the lead.
Yes.
Interesting. And where's it set, though?
I don't know.
See, that's key, though.
The thing about it is that it's
they're making him a superstar.
What's
right
his
now.
Name? It's David Milch is the one who said, "I'm gonna, you know, like somehow David Milch is now brought in to really to run that show, not the guy."
I know he's
like Nick Pizzolatto. It's still his show. Mm-hmm. He's still involved.
He's the creator,
but I think he
the day to day.
He asked David Milch to come in and help me revamp this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, the biggest failing I thought with season two is that it's like. Los Angeles in the 50s
right.
would have been the cooler thing.
For real.
You know, I mean... Like
Taylor Kitsch in that cop uniform.
You still could have had that
oh
in
the 50s.
Oh, my goodness.
You yeah, but it wouldn't have been as tight. It wouldn't have been as body-hugging.
No, think about it. He was a motorcycle cop. Mm-hmm. So he still could have had like a tighter thing.
Okay, if they had that
cop,
in the 50s, I don't know. 50s, I'd have to do some research.
Because to me, I feel like... You know, there's some James Ellroy stuff that's set because we've seen a lot of cop shows in the 40s
mm-hmm.
about heinous shit,
right.
And we've seen a lot of stuff
So they needed L.A. Confidential a little bit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That would have been the right tone.
See, because to me, the first James Ellroy book that I read was this one called White Jazz, which is book 4 in the L.A. Quartet. And I think L.A. Confidential is book 3, you know, because I read them. I didn't know they were in any order. And I was reading. I was like, this fucking book is fucking insane. Oh, my fucking God. Like, this is some insane ass shit.
This is my shit.
This motherfucker is insane. Because I was reading the short stories in GQ. Right. And then someone says, and then I read it before the movie came out. I was like, these characters were in that book because they're younger now. Because it's late 50s in the White Jazz. Mm-hmm. And just like the type of like the way he handles it, it's like America's falling into this corruption that it really jumps into in the 60s and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That it's just a great inflection point to tell a story about cops in LA and the brutalism and shit like that that we hadn't necessarily seen. And obviously you saw a little bit of it in LA Confidential, but that's more like late 40s, the little transition thing. Right. But late 50s, around the, you know, like in the height of the Eisenhower, where everyone thought it was cool, but it was really fucked up shit.
Right.
That would have been the shit.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
We'll see.
But thank y'all.
We'll see. Yeah.
That was a good episode. That was a good episode. We was all over the place.
But it's all right.
We hit our targets.
You don't bother me.
Look.
This is a rant room.
Our last two episodes, we hadn't had a chance to just talk about some stuff. Now we have this opportunity to talk about some stuff.
It's all good. I'm trying to decide which one I want to show first. That's the fun.
Oh, I think you should. Yeah. I think you should go in order.
Are you off?
Huh? No, we're still on?
Oh, shit. Now you're telling people that we recording out of order.
I don't care. Oh, I do it all the time. We tape them back to back. It's all good. A lot of shows do that. Where you at, Lisa? Lisa Colt Jam.
As always, you can find me on Twitter, Bitchflix, and your local beach.
You might get lucky in the water with the great whites.
You might catch me. Yes. Mm-hmm. Especially I'll be up in the Orange County area, so I'll be in Tustin, Santa Ana. So I'll be hitting those beaches up with my boogie board.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah, we'll see how they are with me in the black dreads and come running out there like crazy woman. Like, look, and I'm looking at my tie because I'll be catching the ties in the morning. I get my alerts to let me know how high the waves are. Hey, that's just what you do. It's like,
I don't know how y'all get in that water.
I can get in at 5 a.m. All right, doing it. No, you just get used to it. You just
sounds cold,
you
know, at 5 a.m.
I'm going to go to Hawaii to go in the water. Yeah. I need to be in the cold.
Even that water ain't as warm as the people say it is.
Okay, I'm going to go to Fiji in the water. Okay, yeah. So, all right.
Go to Belize or some shit.
Yeah, we go down there with Fiji or Turks and Caicos.
It gets your blood going. You get you waking up. It's like, you got to get in there. Go great.
No, I'll go to Pilates for that.
Like, if I'm on cold water, I'll do that cold water bath and like Norway and shit. You got in and get out. I can't go. I don't need to do this. Staying in cold water. My hands will turn blue. I don't need to do that shit.
Where you at, Chris?
I'm at Unauthorized CBD on Twitter and Instagram. And my website, shadowboxercinema.net. There might be a new website. Supersonic Baroque.
But what is this one going to be about?
I don't know. I will see what Supersonic Baroque is going to be about. But
Baroque is in Baroque,
yeah.
As in like the music.
Baroque, yeah.
Is it music or film?
Oh, I don't know what it's going to be yet.
It should be conversations about film. You should have conversations with people.
It might be. I took the title from Sid Mead. Sid Mead, who did the Blade Runner design. Mm-hmm. That's how he described his...
Oh, Supersonic
Baroque. Because he liked that Baroque like art from the 1800s. And then that's why I think Blade Runner is such a fascinating look. Because it's not super futuristic.
Oh, and the remake looks like garbage.
Yeah,
Ryan Gosling.
They try to be slick by having the same music.
It doesn't
appeal to me at all.
They didn't I don't know if Sid Mead did the design on it, but if you don't hire him,
the world doesn't look the same.
I don't know what you're doing. I really don't know what you're doing.
No one's going to go see that.
Where you at, Linnell?
You can find me on Twitter at Linnell White, LynnelleWhite. That's it.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest. You can follow me on Instagram too. Same shit. Follow the show.
On the gram now.
I've been on the gram for a long time.
Wow.
If you would ever go on there, you see folks was on there. You can't even put a photo of Lisa nowhere. No evil self.
You got to have a hidden hand. I need to be able to move in spaces and not have people know what I look like.
I need to have a hidden hand. I love that. It's called the hoary hidden hand. This is what it's actually referred to.
Anyway, if you guys have any questions, screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com. Follow the show, Screenwriters RR on iTunes. iTunes, on Twitter, shit. Oh. No, yeah, please go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We need that for the metrics and shit. Follow us on Facebook. We are there too, doing a little bit. And I want to shout out a new podcast I just started listening to called The Mogul. Did you get that shit I sent you?
Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard it already.
The Mogul.
The Mogul. Guys.
Chris Lighty episode.
It's about Chris Lighty and the hip hop and how it all started. It's almost like the Get Down, podcast.
Okay, you're talking to a girl from New York, so
you will love it.
So we're talking about
it's called The Mogul.
We're
the
talking Mogul. About New York, where hip hop started. I just want to make that clear.
Yes.
Okay. All there right.
You go. The real hip hop.
Yes.
That's a line from the 80s. Hip, the early 80s.
The original, even the late
70s.
Yes. Yeah. Was when
Yes.
Okay.
So
all right.
So
Is it Mogul: The Life and Death of Chris?
Yes.
Chris Lighty?
Yeah.
It's got
subscribe to that shit.
It's got a Jean Paul Basquiat image on its thing.
Yeah. Correct. And only aired 3 episodes, but it's so good. It's addictive. I'm always pissed it's over. You know?
That's when you know it's good.
I'll tell you what's a good podcast. I don't know if you listen to this. Revisionist History.
Yes.
I heard it.
With Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, okay.
It's very fascinating.
I've been listening to a lot of startup. Like a lot of those episodes about starting a business and all that.
Mm.
It's been like getting addicted to them. I listened to 5 seasons in the last 2 weeks on one episode.
Damn.
Because I listen to it on the go when I'm getting dressed, when I'm just sitting here in the office, I just have it planned, you know, so.
I've been listening to Happier in Hollywood. There's 2 TV writers, Sarah Fain and...
Who's Happier in Hollywood?
Happier in Hollywood.
I've never heard of that.
No, this is a good one. It just started. It's and they're really short episodes, but it's 2 TV writers, Liz and Sarah. Sarah Fain and Liz... I can't remember Liz's last name.
Sounds familiar.
They used to be showrunners on The Family, a show on ABC. They got to deal with ABC, so they're always. And now they're going to be on For the People.
Hmm.
They talk about being writers. They talk about, you know, the business, and they talk about like being moms and et cetera. Yeah, so that I'm listening to.
And I'll put this out there again. I did an episode on a really really cool podcast. excuse me. Called the.
Paper Team.
And I did episode just like 2 weeks ago. I was on episode 47, and it's a lot of game in that one. So check that out. But to me, they're like a young Craig and John.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they do the exact similar format.
One of them was had a French accent. Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Alex.
And you were doing it by Skype.
No, I was in there. I was at the house.
Oh, it sounded like you were. Oh, it sounded like you guys were able to see. Okay. Okay.
No, I was just sitting across from at a table, and So they're actually, I try to refer a lot of young writers to listen to them. Used to start like from the beginning because they both are, you know, still like trying to get on staff, but they have a lot of experience because they've been assistants to a lot of people and stuff. So they're
physically here in LA.
Oh yeah, they're here. They're here. And, but they just have like a lot of really good insight and they really give people game on, like you said, like Craig and John would do it before, like the younger writers, they speak to the younger writers a lot, you know what I mean? So it's all about how to. You know, so check out Paper Team.
It was Liz Craft and Sarah Fain. I couldn't remember the names. Happier in Hollywood. Yeah.
Okay. I found it. I'm checking it out.
That's what's up. We probably should do that kind of like Greg and them do like any referrals. Or
one cool thing.
Yeah, a little cool thing.
We'll call it that.
Yeah, we'll figure out a cool thing. If you come up with something, let me know. So y'all know how we're doing on a Rant Room. On this show, we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, everybody?
2017.
Peace, y'all.
Ciao.
I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Rant Room. You wanna be a rider, well you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the Rant Room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the craft of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel.